Well, good morning. As they pass the offering baskets, I want to echo what Susan said just a moment ago about the journey. The journey is the most important thing that we do every year. This year, the topic of this six-week journey is the kingdom of God. There could be no more important topic than that. And in fact, this is so important that, you know, if you consider yourself to be a member of our church, you need to be involved with the journey, and you get involved by being part of a small group. In fact, if you have a choice and you just don't have enough time, and it's a choice between coming to church or being part of a small group, go to the small group, don't come to church. That's how important these small groups are during the journey. You know, 6 weeks out of the whole year, we just want everybody to be involved in it. And as Susan said, there are about 50,000 people across Cincinnati who are joining in this. There's a powerful thing that happens when you have all these Christians together in city who are doing the same thing, studying the same thing, worshiping together. God does something powerful in lives during our journey. A family was having guests for dinner one evening. They got to the table, and the mother said to her six-year-old daughter, "Why don't you ask the blessing, dear?" And the little girl said, "Well, I don't know what to say." And the mother says, "Oh, come on, dear. Just, you know, pray what you hear your mommy say." And the little girl says, "Okay," and she bows her head, "Dear Lord, why the heck did I invite all these people to dinner?" We're talking about prayer today, in case you didn't figure it out. You know, once in a while, especially when it comes to prayer, I need to remind myself just how powerful God really is. And one of the things that reminds me of that better than anything else, there's this little kid's book that I read years and years ago. It's called, "Is the Blue Whale the Biggest Thing There Is?" It starts out, "The largest animal on earth is the blue whale. Just the flippers on its tail are bigger than most animals on earth." I put some slides up here to give you a little indication. The blue whale's at the top. You can see an elephant at the bottom right. You know, the blue whale's big, right? But a blue whale isn't anywhere near as big as a mountain. If you put 100 blue whales in a huge jar, you could put millions of whale jars inside a hollowed-out Mount Everest. That next slide is Mount Everest. You can see it's almost 6 miles tall. But Mount Everest isn't near as big as the Earth. If you stacked 100 Mount Everests on top of one another, it would be just a whisker on the face of the Earth. I give you a visual for that. You can see the little red line right on the top. If you stacked 100 Mount Everest, 500 to 600 miles tall, that's what it would look like. And the Earth isn't anywhere near as big as the Sun. You could fit 1 million Earths inside the Sun. And we've got another visual for that. The little dot up there is the size of the Earth compared to the Sun. But the Sun, which is a medium-sized star, isn't anywhere near as big as the red supergiant star called Antares. 50 million of our suns could fit inside of Antares. You can see the Sun is not the orange ball off to the right. The Sun is the little dot on the top. And so you can imagine trying to compare the size of the Earth to Antares. But Antares isn't anywhere near as big as the Milky Way galaxy. Billions of stars, including supergiants like Antares, as well as countless comets and asteroids, make up the Milky Way galaxy. And so we have a picture of our galaxy. Can you see yourself on that? Not quite. In fact, here's what's fascinating to me. If you took our fastest spacecraft, which happens to be Voyager 1, traveling at 38,000 miles per hour, Voyager 1 would take 1.7 billion years just to get across the Milky Way galaxy. 1.7 billion years, that's a long time. But the Milky Way galaxy isn't anywhere near as big as the universe. There are billions of other galaxies in the universe. Let's go to the next slide. Every dot of light on here is not a star. Every dot is a galaxy. Is that unbelievable to think about? That there's billions of galaxies in the universe. And yet, Filled with billions of galaxies, the universe is almost totally empty. The distances from one galaxy to another are beyond our imagination. And the creator of this universe is God, who created it all with a word, who holds it all together with his power, and who is present everywhere in this universe and beyond. God's power is so awesome, so unbelievable, we cannot even imagine it. We can't grasp it. And what's even more amazing is that he wants to use that power to help you. He wants to use it to answer your prayers. Ephesians 1:20 says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. God says, the same power that I used to create the whole universe, I want to use to help you and to answer your prayer. Now, have you ever prayed for something really, really hard? You're asking God to change the situation. Maybe it's to help you to get a job or to heal somebody or to take this thing away or to heal a relationship or God, would you take away this addiction? You know, I've been struggling with it for years and years and I don't want to anymore. And so you pray about this and it's a huge deal for you. So you are praying really hard. But then God apparently does nothing. You ever had that happen? He doesn't take it away. He doesn't heal. He doesn't bring along that right relationship for you. He doesn't fix the bad relationship. In fact, maybe it gets worse. Maybe it gets more hopeless. And so you start to ask, I wonder if God even cares. I wonder if he's really there. I wonder if he's listening at all. You know, can he really hear me? He's not answering my prayer. And I wonder if prayer really works, because I pray and nothing. And truthfully, if you've never experienced that or you're not there now, then you probably have or will have an experience like that in the future where you're praying, but apparently God is not moving. And in fact, let's watch a short video about this.
So what now, God? I'm tired of failing. I cannot live like this anymore. And this prayer thing, I really don't know how to do it. Are you even listening? I mean, I pray for financial help. Things aren't getting better. I pray for guidance and making decisions, but decisions aren't getting easier. I pray for my relationships to improve, but they're just getting worse. Would you talk to me? I can't hear you. I can't smell you. I can't touch you. I can't feel you. Would you just please talk to me? What do you want me to do? I'll do it. You want me to read more? You want me to pray more? Is that what you want? Fine. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom come. I don't even know what that means. What, a kingdom of justice? Of equality? Of freedom? What? A kingdom of french fries and sour cream? Of cucumbers? Of what? Because all I know is this dirty old rotten world. Where is this kingdom? And is this all there is? Right here, right now? Is this all I'll ever know? What do you want from me, God? And would you talk to me? Are you even listening?
Wow, what a depressing video. Who chose that? Oh, that would be me. It doesn't do any good to be Pollyanna about, you know, prayer always works for me and it's always wonderful and etc. Because sometimes it doesn't seem to, does it? We're in a series on Elijah. One of the good things about Elijah is that this guy understood prayer. Not only that, though, he knew what to do when there didn't seem to be an answer, when he prayed and there was nothing. And in fact, Elijah is used in the New Testament as the example from the whole Bible of how you ought to pray. In James chapter 5, James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then to prove it, he uses Elijah as the example. He goes on, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And that's the story we're going to be looking at today, the story about Elijah's prayer for rain. And I thought it was so interesting that it was raining heavily when I got here this morning. In fact, we have the buckets out where the rain is coming through the roof over here. But notice it starts by saying Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah wasn't some superhero with a mask and a red cape, you know, look, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Elijah. No, it says he was a man just like us. In other words, he had no advantage over you and me when it came to prayer. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me do a quick review of where we are in this story. We talked last week about how the nation of Israel is experiencing a 3-year drought. No rain, no crops harvested. People are starving to death. And this is hard for us to even imagine because we have never experienced a drought like this. You know, we've had a few days, maybe even a few weeks or maybe even a month without rain. You know, when I was living in San Diego, we had one time that it went like 5 or 6 months without rain. You know, so we can understand that none of us have ever experienced 3 years without rain. We can't even imagine that. At this time, there are 3-year-old kids in Israel who have never made a mud pie. They've never hopped in a rain puddle. They've never even seen it rain. They don't even know what that is. Hard for us to even imagine. And in the middle of this crisis situation, God speaks to Elijah in 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Later on, in the 3rd year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. Then skipping down to verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came on. Now, notice how this story starts. Elijah says, there is a sound of a heavy rain. Was Elijah using his physical ears to hear this? No. The storm wasn't even on the horizon. It wasn't even on its way yet. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. No physical indication of rain. Nobody else was hearing anything. This was something that God was letting Elijah hear prophetically. And that leads to our first point this morning. If you want to be effective in prayer, you start by listening for what God wants to do but isn't doing yet. Listen for what God wants to do but isn't doing yet. What does God want to do in your life? How does he want to bless your life? Have you asked him that and then listened? Elijah was in a drought. Maybe you feel like you're in a drought right now. The truth is we all go through droughts at times when it seems like nothing is easy, everything is hard, one difficulty after another. It seems like God used to bless me, but he's not blessing me now. It used to be easier, now it's harder. And when Elijah was in this drought, even though he knew God was causing it, God was behind it, he still suffered like everybody else. We talked a couple weeks ago about how his brook dried up and he didn't have any water to drink. He had to go travel somewhere else. He suffered the consequences of the drought just like everybody else. But through it all, he knew that there was a day on God's calendar that a hurricane from heaven was coming, that the rain was going to pour down again and the drought would be over. What was true for Elijah is true for you and me. We all go through droughts. We all suffer at times because of them. But we know that there is a day on God's calendar when that drought will be over. When that hurricane from heaven will come with rain into your life and mine, the drought will be over and the blessings will come. But the first step is to pay attention to God, listen to God, and specifically listen for what God wants to do in your life that he's not doing now. Elijah listened. He said, there's a sound of a heavy rain. Now, he didn't see that rain coming yet. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. The sun was beating down. Elijah and his servant are walking around, and there's the crunch of dead grass with every step. There's dust flying up because it is so dry. 3 years with no rain. The cattle have died. The sheep have died. Maybe there's some camels still living, but they're probably ribs sticking out. It's bad in a drought. But in the middle of this, Elijah says that he hears the sound of heavy rain. You know what he's saying? He's saying, right now, there's nothing. But on the other side of nothing, there is something. In faith, with my spiritual ears, I hear something. I hear a heavy rain. Some of us are in a drought right now, and maybe your enemy is whispering to you, you're going to die in this drought. You're done. You're finished. I'm going to destroy you. You'll never get over this. You'll never get healed. Your marriage is never going to get better. You'll never get married. Your kids are going to fail. You're going to die in this drought. But if you will listen to God and not to the devil, then something will rise up in you and it'll say, I don't think so, because I hear the sound of a heavy rain. It's going to rain again in my life. The blessings are going to flow again. In fact, I can hear them flowing already. It's like a mighty river. There's not just a little rain coming, not just a little shower or sprinkle or drizzle. I hear a heavy rain coming, and it's going to be good. It's the blessings of God are going to come again, and so I will be faithful. I will continue to trust God. I'll keep on walking with Him, and God is going to deliver me. This drought is going to be history. I believe that if you will start to listen to God, then God will let you start to hear what He's doing in your life. He's going to let you know that the rain is coming again. The drought will be over, so get ready. God's already got that day on His calendar. If you will stay faithful, then at the appointed time, it's going to rain on your life. It's going to rain on your situation, on your marriage. It's going to rain on your kids and your family and on your job. The blessings of God will rain down, and it's going to be a heavy rain. Elijah said, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. What did he do next? He started praying for what he heard. In verse 42, it says, Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. So he goes to this lonely place. He's got just a servant with him so that he can pray. And then he bows down and starts to pray. Now, had God already told him that the rain was coming? Yes. Had he already heard the sound of the rain with his spiritual ears? Yes. Did Elijah know for sure that it was God's will for that rain to come? Yes, he knew absolutely, without a doubt, he knew that's what God wanted to do. But did Elijah still have to pray for the rain? Yes. Why did he still have to pray for it? If he already knew that it was God's will, if he already knew it was going to happen, why bother praying? You know, God's going to do it anyway, right? You know, why do you still have to pray for it? Because that is how God works. If you don't pray, God doesn't do it, even if it's God's will. That's how God works. It may be God's will to bring heavy rain into your life. Heavy blessings, all kinds of good things, financial blessings, relationship blessings, healing, all kinds of blessings. Maybe He's even told you somehow that you know, that's His will for you, that's what He wants to do in your life. And so you already know it's His will to bless you. Do you still need to pray for it? Yeah. Just like Elijah did, you still need to pray. Will God bring the blessings if you don't pray? Well, maybe, you know, just because He feels sorry for you. But that's not what He did with Elijah. And Elijah is our example of how to pray. You know, He waited until Elijah prayed. And then He brought the rain. Now, what's even more interesting is that even after Elijah prayed, it didn't come right away. Elijah climbs to the top of Mount Carmel. He bows down and starts to pray. Finally, he's done praying, and so he tells the servant, okay, go look out toward the sea. Tell me what you see. The servant goes and looks. The servant comes back, and he says, there's nothing. Nothing. So Elijah goes back to praying. He prays for a while longer. Finally, he tells the servant, okay, now go look and see. The servant goes and looks. The servant comes back. Nothing. Elijah goes back to praying. He prays for a while longer. He says to the servant, okay, now go and look. The servant goes and looks. The servant comes back. Nothing. And he does this time after time after time. Every time the servant comes back, nothing. Now, Elijah knew it was God's will. God had already said it was coming. He's already heard the rain with his spiritual ears. Why in the world isn't it happening? Why does he have to keep sending off his servant time after time? Nope, nothing. It doesn't tell us this, but you better believe the devil was playing with Elijah's mind. The devil is saying, Elijah, you are going to look really dumb. I mean, you already told King Ahab it's going to rain, and now it's not raining. And it's not going to. It's not going to come. Nothing is happening. You didn't really hear from God. God is ignoring you. The drought's going to continue. You're going to look dumb. You see, Elijah was a man just like you and me. And so, certainly, he's got to be wondering, what is going on? Why is it taking so long? But despite that, you don't hear Elijah saying, man, this prayer stuff just doesn't really work. I quit. God must not be interested in my problem. He doesn't care. No. He sees nothing, and he goes back to praying. And he prays, 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 and Elijah doesn't allow the outward circumstance of what's going on to affect his inward assurance. His servant is saying, come on already, Elijah. I've already made this hike 6 times. There's nothing. I'm getting really tired of doing this. How many more times do I have to make this trip and come back disappointed? Elijah, you just need to face it. It's not going to happen. Nothing. No rain. It's not working. You must not have really heard from God this time. Sorry, buddy, but please don't make me go look again. But Elijah doesn't allow the outward circumstance to stop him. When it seems like God is not moving, when it seems like God is not answering, when time after time he prays and he gets what? Nothing. He doesn't get disgusted and give up. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't say, that's it. I am done. This is not working. What does he do? He prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. Doesn't seem like God is working. And he prays and he prays and he prays. And that leads to our next point. If you want to be effective in prayer, don't stop praying if you see nothing. Don't stop. You see, all of us have prayed before and we've seen nothing, right? How do you handle that? You keep praying. And in fact, this story of Elijah is a great illustration of the way that our prayer teams operate on Sunday morning. If you come up here and you ask them to pray for you, say you got a hurt back and you want healing for your back or something, they're trained that the first thing they do after they find out what you need prayer for is they don't immediately jump into praying. The first thing they do is they take a second and listen to the Holy Spirit to see if the Holy Spirit has anything to tell them about the situation. That is exactly what Elijah did. The first thing he does is he hears from the Holy Spirit the sound of heavy rain. In fact, that word that a voice from the Holy Spirit is what tells him now it's time to pray. Okay, so he responds to that, and the next step he goes to pray. Well, after listening to the Holy Spirit, our prayer teams will start to pray, but after they pray for a minute, they will likely stop, and they'll ask you, how's your back doing? Is there any change? Do you feel anything? Feel any heat or tingling or anything going on with your back? And they'll ask you, how's it going? That's exactly what Elijah did. He stops praying and he says, hey, to servant, go look. See what's happening. Anything out there? Nope, nothing. And so Elijah goes back to praying. And that's what our prayer teams do. They go back to praying. You know, if you don't feel anything in your back first, okay, let's pray again. And, you know, or maybe you do feel a little something. Maybe the pain is a little less or something, but it's not completely healed. Okay, let's pray for some more. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark about Jesus healing a blind guy. And the first time Jesus puts his hand on the guy, he asks him how he's seeing, and the guy says, well, you know, I can see a little bit now, but it's really fuzzy. It's like people walk around like trees. And so Jesus does it again. And then the next time he asks, and the guy says, oh, now I see perfectly. Well, if Jesus needs two tries, how many do we get? The point is, don't stop praying if you see nothing. So let me ask you, what do you typically do when you pray and you see a big fat nothing? You know, maybe you'd say, well, you know, Ken, I'm living the best life I know how. I'm reading my Bible, I pray, I go to church, I give my tithe, I do some ministry work. I'm doing all the right things, but then I pray and nothing. And people ask me, you know, is it any better? No. Are you healed? No. You know, is the situation better? No, actually it's gotten worse. What do you do when you pray and there's nothing? You do what Elijah did. You hold on in faith. You go back to praying some more. Time after time for Elijah, it was nothing, nothing, nothing. And this is the guy that James said, here's the example of how to pray in the whole Bible. Seven times, Elijah said, go back and look again. First six times, nothing. Would you have quit? I think I would have quit. I think I would have said, well, you know, looks like God changed his mind. I guess I didn't hear right. He's not paying attention. There's nothing there. I guess the drought really isn't over. God failed me again. I guess prayer doesn't really work because there's nothing. But here's the promise that we have from God. If we continue to pray and do not give up, one of these times, after you pray, and then look, you're not going to see nothing. You're going to see something. And you see, there's a spiritual principle here. On the other side of nothing, there is something. And in fact, I want you to remember that. When you're praying and you see nothing, on the other side of nothing is something. And, you know, that is such a brilliant insight. I'd love to take credit for it, but I actually heard somebody else say it. When you're praying and you see nothing, on the other side of nothing is something. You need to remember that. So many times you pray and you see nothing. And so you pray again and you see nothing. And so you pray again and you see nothing. And then you quit. And you say, this is not working. You know, God is not going to do it. He's not going to bless me. He's not going to provide for me. He's not going to heal me because I prayed three whole times and nothing. Elijah prayed six times and nothing. But Elijah knew that on the other side of nothing is something. And so he prayed a seventh time. And then his servant came back and said, well, there's something. It's just a little black cloud, not very big, way off in the distance, can hardly see it, but there's something. And Elijah says, you better get ready. Go get the umbrellas, get the boats, get the balers, get the life vests, because there is a heavy rain coming. In fact, you better go tell King Ahab right now, he's got to ride quick or the rain's going to stop him because it's going to be so heavy. Now, notice, his servant did not come back and say, Elijah, you know, there's this massive, huge monsoon out there. You know, it's going to be, you know, amazing. No, he says, it's almost nothing, but there's a little something. I can hardly see it. So why did Elijah react the way he did? Why did he say, run and tell Ahab to hurry because the heavy rain is coming. It's going to be so heavy, he's not going to be able to travel. Why did Elijah react like that? It's because Elijah knew that on the other side of nothing is not only something, but on the other side of nothing is everything. It's everything you need. Everything that God wants to bless you with. Elijah knew that after a three-year drought, we need more than just a little shower. We need more than just a sprinkle, more than just some drizzle. We need a heavy rain. In fact, he'd already heard that with his spiritual ears. He heard heavy rain. He didn't hear drizzle or shower. And so he knew what was coming. When you pray for what you need, it may take a lot longer to get here than you expect. You may have to pray 7 times or 70 times. And when it comes, it may look small. But when it comes, it is everything you need from God. On the other side of nothing is everything you need. And that's why James said the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So many times we're down in the dumps. We feel like God is not working. We feel like He's not answering our prayers. He's not doing anything because we see nothing. And that's what we need to remember. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You say, Ken, well, I'm not very righteous. That can't be talking about me. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, then you have the righteousness of Christ. And so this is talking about you. It's saying that if you will keep on praying and not give up, on the other side of nothing is everything you need. There will come a day when you'll see a cloud. Your 7th time will come. The clouds will gather. You'll see the rain. The drought will end and the blessings will fall into your life. So let me ask you, what is it that you have stopped praying for that you need to start praying for again? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you haven't seen much movement there, and so you've kind of quit praying. Maybe it's for a job. You got tired of looking. Maybe it's for your finances, or maybe for a broken relationship. Maybe it's for somebody in your family that is not following Christ, and you know, it's been years, and you've basically given up praying for them. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You see, one of Satan's greatest tactics is to try to wear you down. So he says, you know, if I can just send them away empty-handed enough times, they'll give up. And unfortunately, he's right. I've heard so many people say, you know, I'm going to quit church because I go and I feel nothing. Or I'm not going to pray anymore because I see nothing. I'm going to quit giving my tithes because my finances aren't getting blessed. You know, I'm going to quit this or that because when I do it, I see nothing. And you know where they are? They're on their 3rd or 4th or 5th or 6th time up that mountain to look, and the 7th time hasn't come yet, but if they would just hold on, if they would just press on, they pray one more time, look for the answer one more time, hang in there one more day or week or month, on the other side of that big fat nothing is something. And it's not only something, but it's everything they need from God. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. As they do, let's pray. There's some of you here that it's been a long time since you've connected with God through prayer in a real, intimate kind of way. Maybe you've stopped praying for somebody or something that you should be praying for. And so I want to pray for you right now. Just God, would you give us the strength to pray and to keep on praying and to not stop praying? Would you give us the patience and the perseverance that we need to trust you, to believe in faith, not to quit? And as we continue praying, God, would you make us more intimate in our relationship with you? Would you draw us closer to you? Would you help us to grow in our faith? Holy Spirit, help us to hear from you the good things that you want to do in our lives, but you haven't done yet. And help us to hear the blessings that you want to bring into our lives and into our families. Help us to hear from you so that we'll know how to pray. Some of you here this morning aren't ready to pray like this because you're still not sure about your relationship with God. You're not sure that you're a part of God's family with the Holy Spirit living in you and giving you His strength and power to live. If you're not sure of that, you can be. In fact, right now the Spirit of God is drawing you. That's why you're here this morning. So if that's you, why don't you just pray along with me right now in your heart. God will hear you. And say, God, yes, I need you in my life. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Would you come into my life right now? Help me to change. Put your Holy Spirit in me to give me the power to live for you. Make me a part of your family, starting right now and lasting forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.